This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Clearly, the Bible is a very complex book. These 66 books written by over 40 different individuals throughout the course of millennia is nothing short of miraculous. How this information of mankind's history was preserved and brought through some of the most destructive and treacherous events ever encountered by humanity is beyond the mortal capacity to comprehend. It is unquestionably supernatural in nature and providential in its execution. Now, on occasion, God will also dramatically intervene in the personal lives of individuals. The Apostle Paul had this happen to him. Yes, while hunting down Christians on a trip to the city of Damascus, Jesus Christ stopped him and changed his life's course. God used this former Pharisee mightily for the development of the church's doctrinal structure. Yes, this was God's opportunity. And the result? 13 epistles in the New Testament describing and outlining what he experienced while visiting, advising, writing, and preaching to these early Christians. He chronicles and characterizes a variety of events for the record to provide guidance on how particular circumstances should be handled and teachings understood. So stay with us as we illustrate how Paul was indeed God's opportunity.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Tony Bukert.
Well, hello there, friends, and welcome again to another edition of the Armor of God. Now, in my Bible, I have already turned to a set of scriptures I want to bring our attention to. And in doing so, what I hope to do is either introduce you to the Apostle Paul or reacquaint you with this personality of the Apostle Paul and the works that he did to kind of give us a full overview of not only the personages and the personality of the Apostle Paul, but maybe if we have time, we're going to answer a more important question, and that is, why did God choose Paul? Why did he become the lightning rod that he was for the New Testament church and for us today? Because the fact of the matter is, this man named Paul was the contributor of most of the New Testament epistles. So he became a great contributor to Christianity, even though formerly he was a persecutor of the church. Now, Peter wants to clarify some things for us in some of the scriptures that he has here in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verses 14 through verse 16. Peter kind of introduces us to a misconception about Paul. And the misconception about Paul is this, in a nutshell, just to summarize it if we could, that Paul was a preacher of grace, of faith, and of salvation. And in doing so, the Apostle Paul, in the incorrect opinion of a lot of theologians, was an anti-law minister, in other words, an antinomian preacher, who after the advent, the arrival of Christ, after his life, his death, his burial, and his consequent resurrection, found really no use for the law, but focused on grace because law has now been done away. Well, that's not true. The Apostle Paul, when we consider him, had a calling that is like perhaps no other person in history. And God used him in a very magnificent way, so the Apostle Paul focused on some things. Now, let's read these scriptures and see what Peter says about this. He says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him, by him rather, in peace, without spot, and blameless." He's talking about our conduct, our holy conduct. "And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. Right here, the Apostle Peter is saying that Paul's words oftentimes are twisted. And maybe he's not saying what he appears to be saying because people assign to him motivations, quite frankly, that he doesn't have. But before we go into the next portion of our Scriptures, let us pause for just a minute here and bring your attention to some of the items we want to make available, completely free of charge to you, by the way. A CD titled Thank God for Paul, delivered by Church of God International Minister Mr. Wayne Hendricks, and a booklet titled Assurance of Salvation. And therein lies, friends, the real key to understanding why God called the Apostle Paul, because in the New Testament Christian, it would be counterintuitive to us to call the Apostle Paul, to really be in company with him in a friendly type situation. And you'll see what I mean here in just a little bit. But you can get these items by simply dialing 888-578-8791. Again, that's 888-578-8791. You can hit us up on the web at cgi.org. And while you're there, don't forget to take a look at our weekly webcast that's held every Saturday. Now, you want to make sure you do check the web times on there because they may vary. And also, we also now have a new digital app that you can download on your smartphone. Now, whichever phone that you have, whatever digital device that you have, you just want to simply go to your app store and you can download that on your phone completely free of charge. It'll make a lot of these items available to you really right at your fingertips. Now, right before I went into the literature and the CD offer, I was talking about the Apostle Paul and how some of the things that he said were oftentimes twisted. There was a misconception about his ministry and what he was talking about oftentimes. And I brought up a question, and maybe that's what we really want to focus on today, is why would God call the Apostle Paul? Now, you're talking about a guy from Tarsus, a town in Turkey. He really went by two names. Saul was his Jewish name. Paul was his Gentile name. So he's known in the Scriptures as both Saul and the Apostle Paul. He was used perhaps like no other apostle in the New Testament. And do you believe that people to this day, to this very day, they question the Apostle Paul's apostleship? A lot of people think the Apostle Paul is a false apostle. But you have to understand that the Apostle Paul, he was vetted by the New Testament Ministerial Council, and he was also validated through the testimony that he gave them, and his apostleship was never questioned by anybody in the New Testament. So we're going to table that for just a second, and we're going to get right back to what we really want to discuss. Why did God call the Apostle Paul? Now, in understanding why God would do such a thing, considering that the Apostle Paul was somebody in the New Testament, if we were to go back in time, if we were to get in our time machines and we were to go back to the first century church and we were to just mix in among the crowd of Christians in that day, we have to consider that when Paul's name, actually when Saul's name was brought up, we have to understand that his name would not bring about an idea, at least early on before his calling, of salvation, of faith, and grace. This guy was considered a monster. He was somebody who was to be feared. So when Paul, when his name was brought up, people literally in the Scriptures say that they scattered when he came by, because he had authority by the Sanhedrin to take people in chains and put them into prison. And if we get time, we'll go over a Scripture that would even indicate that the Apostle Paul, when Stephen was being stoned, maybe you might remember that story, that Paul was consenting unto his very death. So he was somebody that was supposed to be feared. So the tangibles of the Apostle Paul is oftentimes what people will turn to, and I'm not going to diminish the tangibles that the Apostle Paul brought to the table, because a lot of people, what they don't know about Paul, or they forget about him, is he was a very highly educated man. Tarsus was not a poor town, little town in Turkey. Paul had dual citizenship, if you will. He was not only a Jewish man, but he was also being born in Tarsus, that being a Roman province, was also a Roman citizen. But he came from a town that was very affluent. It was very geared on education, and the Apostle Paul was no exception to that. He was actually reared and brought up in the Jewish religion, and by his own words, excelled more than any of his brothers in what he would call the religion of the Jews at his time. So God saw opportunity to use Paul's tangibles. But when we consider what we bring to the table, I just want to mention this briefly, and I don't want to focus on it too long, but I always think about Moses. You know, Moses, when God, when he is sending him to Pharaoh, Moses said, "But God, you know, I'm going to paraphrase this. I don't have the scriptures memorized, but Moses said, God, how can I go to Pharaoh and tell him that you said, let my people go when I don't speak very well?" And he said, "Don't worry about that. I'm going to send you, Aaron's going to speak for you. He's going to be your mouthpiece." So God is able to overcome any deficiencies that we have. Bottom line, if God is going to call you and he's going to use you for a specific purpose, he's going to give you the wherewithal to carry out the task that he has for you. But Paul brings something special to the table. Now, as we go through this, we're going to look at a scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 22. The book of Acts, chapter 22, if you will. I'm going to turn over there real quick and talk about some of the things that the Apostle Paul brought with him that made him such a good preacher in the gospel. The Apostle Paul, he says this, he says, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense." This is verse 1 of chapter 22 of the book of Acts. "Before you now, and when they heard that he spoke to them in a Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. And they said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our fathers, law was zealous towards God, as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there into Jerusalem to be punished." And we're already getting a glimpse of the Apostle Paul, the tangibles that he brought, not only the mission that he had from the Sanhedrin to put Christians into prison, to consent unto their death, but when you consider being taught at the feet of Gamaliel, that's something that's not insignificant, that statement. See, Gamaliel was the religious zealot of his day. He was, in fact, the expert into the law, and he had the school in which people would go to, and they'd be taught of issues of philosophy or the details of philosophy. And we understand the Apostle Paul did, in fact, take on philosophers in the New Testament. He was able to do that because he had the training. He was trained in all aspects of the Jewish religion, probably in debate and all these things. So he had all this background from this great professor, if you will, in that religion of Gamaliel. And he had the backdrop of all the Old Testament. And therefore, God was able to use him as a bridge between law and grace and to bring it all together as he began to call Gentiles into the church. The Apostle Paul was perfect for the job, being taught by this man by the name of Gamaliel, an expert in the law, a prominent professor, if you will, for lack of a better way of putting it. He was falling under the personal tutelage of this guy. So he was not an uneducated guy. He was not somebody who didn't understand what he was talking about. He had the full background of what he was talking about. He was multilinguistic, which means he spoke several different languages. Certainly God can use all that. Certainly that would have helped him as eventually his role became more and more clearly defined to him as God would send him to the Gentiles and not to the Jews. He was perfectly fitted for that role. And God knew what he was doing. God understood that he could use this man by the name of Paul. As a matter of fact, you see, as we go down through the scriptures, the tangibles that he brought with him to the table, When God called him, when Christ looked down upon him and called him, not only was there questions and confusion about why God would do so, you can imagine. Can you put yourself, the best that we can, in the first century church? The Apostle Paul, now being called by God, yesterday he's consenting to your death. He maybe put your wife or your husband into prison a couple days ago, and now all of a sudden, he's a Christian? I mean, come on. I mean, who today wouldn't even question such a calling? That's a natural thing for us to do, to question something like that. It's not something that is intuitive for us to do or to even believe. So he spent some time validating himself and getting vetted by the New Testament church to prove this. Now, the Apostle Paul was not only taught by Gamaliel. We have to consider that later on, we want to talk about a great teacher. We want to talk about somebody who could have brought everything into completion for the Apostle Paul. Do you realize that in his training after his calling, that the Apostle Paul was taught by Jesus the Christ himself? That he spent 3 years in Damascus and that Jesus taught him personally. He taught him a lot of things, bringing it all together for him, this thing of law and grace, bringing the Gentiles into the fold, if you will, because salvation's for everybody, not just for the Jews. You know, the Apostle Paul was educated so much by Jesus in the wilderness, in the desert, if you will. Do you know that the Apostle Paul had such an insight, a unique insight to the heavenly realm, that he could even speak the languages or the tongues of angels? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels. To talk about tangibles, the Apostle Paul, is an understatement, because this guy had it going for him as far as ability is concerned. But Paul understood something. Paul understood that apart from Jesus, that everything he'd experienced in life would have been worthless to him. It would have been nothing, because salvation is only found through Jesus Christ. Now, let's turn to the book of Galatians chapter 1. The book of Galatians chapter 1. We're going to read a couple scriptures to prove what I was just saying. In verses 6, we'll start here. He says, I marvel that you are so turning away from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. There are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we preach to you, let him be accursed, as we have said before. So now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than you have received, let him be accursed. Do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is he saying here? Is this some sort of hyperbolic way of speaking? Is he going into metaphor, or is this a real event? Let's continue. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the tradition of my fathers. Notice what he's saying here, a very educated man. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia. Why? And returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. So 15 days, he went to Jerusalem and was taught, or met with Peter, after being taught by Jesus Christ in the Arabian desert. To say this man was undereducated, we can't say that about him. Gamaliel and Christ. But again, tangibles are one thing. However, there was one thing about the Apostle Paul that God had to get rid of. he had to deal with in order for him to be malleable, pliable in his hands, to become the useful tool that God envisioned for him. You know, through all of this, I think sometimes we all suffer from this to one degree or another. But you know, the Apostle Paul got quite arrogant in his approach against Christianity. And in Acts chapter 9, we see that Jesus himself has to bring the Apostle Paul to a point of humility before he can use him. And let's turn there. Acts chapter 9, we'll go over the calling of the Apostle Paul. That's why I say it's so unique, like nobody else. And here we have this man on a mission, the Apostle Paul. Right before his calling, we find him on the way to Damascus. He's on his way to persecute the church, and then his mission is disrupted. Disrupted because God wants to use him for a purpose, but right now God can't use him. He's too arrogant. He's got some problems here. He's persecuting the church, and he has a direct encounter with the Christ. And we begin in verse 1 of chapter 9 of the book of Acts. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. So what was the Apostle Paul before his calling? He was, in fact, a murderous, religious tyrant. He had the authority, he had the will, and perhaps even more importantly than that, he had the desire to stamp out Christianity. That was his mission, his personal mission. And asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, and remember, Christianity wasn't called Christianity till later at Antioch, but in the earliest foundations of Christianity, it was known as the way. Whether men or women, he brought might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me?" That's what Christ is saying to him. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Yes, in fact, the church was being persecuted by the church, but the Apostle Paul, Jesus is saying, "You're coming after my church? You're persecuting me too," in a manner of speaking. "I am Jesus who you are persecuting. Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?" And we have to pause here for just a second because there's a historical context that has to be put into place here for this thing called kicking against the goads. Now, a goad was something that would be used by somebody who was driving maybe an ox cart or is being driven in a cart, maybe pulled by a donkey. And essentially what Christ is saying to the Apostle Paul, "You're going to go, Paul. You're going to be used by me, and I'm not going to give you a choice." So what happens is this goad was used to poke and to prod at the ribs of the ox or the donkey so it would move. He's saying, "I'm not going to give you any choice." Okay? So the Apostle Paul was coming through a point of humility here. So why did the Apostle Paul talk about grace so much? Well, to understand that, we have to go back to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, if you would please. I'm going to make sure I get the right scriptures for you here. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, just a couple short verses here. Galatians chapter 2, here we go. And we're going to read just 16 through 21. Let's just go to 17. "But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin?" What is sin? The transgression of the law. And he says, "Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God." And he continues here in verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside grace of God, for it is righteous. If righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." He didn't set aside the law, friends. He simply understood grace like no other person. So why did the Apostle Paul focus on grace so much? When you find yourself a murderous, religious tyrant who has supernaturally intervened by this one called Christ. Can you imagine that? You're this guy from a town in Tarsus in Sicilia. You're just kind of living life. You're living life according to the ways of your fathers. And you find yourself in this position of which you have authority to bring people to death. Indications are, this is not just talking about he had the authority, but he actually conducted himself and putting Christians to death. And now you find yourself encountered by the one who is called Christ, whom you're formerly persecuting, and you are somebody at the time of this intervention, of this disruption in the Apostle Paul's course of conducting himself in his mission. Paul ultimately began to realize that he was a murderer. And if anybody deserved to be punished by the law, you know, if you take a life according to the law, law says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. The Apostle Paul, these people weren't deserving of any kind of a death whatsoever. These people were following their Lord, and now the Apostle Paul comes to realize, wow, I've spent all this time in the ways of my fathers. I was taught at the feet of Gamaliel, and I persecuted the way. And now Christ, who found grace enough to call somebody like me a sinner, wow. Wouldn't you talk about grace and salvation and faith if you receive such a unmerited pardon? And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul received. He didn't deserve it. You know what he was? He was thankful for it. And because he was so thankful for it, you know, he understood the law. He knew that there was a need to conduct ourselves in holy conduct the best that we can to keep God's Ten Commandments. But when you receive grace in such a way that you do, you can read this in 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul answers the question, why did God call me? That he might show me as an example that if I can make it, so you can too. Well, friends, time has eluded me, so don't forget, pick up that phone, 888-578-8791, or hit us up on the web at cgi.org and order your booklet, Assurance of Salvation, or the CD, Thank God for the Apostle Paul. Don't forget about our webcast every Saturday morning. Check the times on the web because they do vary. And please do download that digital app that we have completely free of charge. Just simply go to whatever carrier you use, your app store, download that app, and do take advantage of it because a lot of these things will be available to you right at your fingertips. Technology certainly is an amazing thing today. Well, friends, the Apostle Paul, whether you're being introduced to him today or that you're getting reacquainted with him, certainly God knew what he was doing. God knew that he was an educated man. God knew he had tangibles, but God knew he could also show opportunity and grace. Friends, until next time, keep on that whole armor that you might be able to stand in this evil day. And we'll see you next time.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.